All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's continue where we stopped. There was a scripture we read last time, which was kind of long, but I said that if I want to finish reading it, I just said it's likely we won't be able to get to the reason why I read it. So let's get back there again today. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's just start from 1. Again, I will just skip here and there so as to save time. All right, just jump to the things that are most relevant. He said, all the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that it might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna. What was the reason? He said that you might understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything or every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. He said in verse 5, he said, thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Now this is where actually I want to go. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Everybody say good land.
Good
land. He said a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And I said other things to them from verse 11, which we will not read now. But let's just read a bit of it. And I said, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, all right, by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, now that's why I decided to read it. When you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies. Now these things, when they happen, your heart may become, we're saying in verse 14, that then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He said, they led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. Now let me just stop there, all right? The thing I want us to note, I've already read it. The Lord is good. Remember last time I explained something that life, we are looking at it in two stages. I said the first stage is the stage of what? Occupation, I said the last time. And then you see, the second stage is that stage of the coming of the Lord. We said this parallels what we discussed earlier, that some time ago on radio, I talked about the different stages of life, all right? And the last stage, I said, is the season of multiplication and I think dominion, something like that. So this time around, we're looking at just in two broad phases. The first one, I said, is a stage of occupation, whereas the second one is a stage in which the Lord will come back. And the reason why we said it like that is because of what we read from the book of Luke chapter 19. Let's just quickly read that just to bring everybody up to speed on it. All right, from verse 12. It said, no man went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. He called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this. King James says, occupy until I come. All right, do business with this until I come. And then if you jump down, when he returned, you see in verse 15, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money to be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, master, your mina has made 10 more. All right, 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. And you know the rest of the story. I won't read beyond this because of We're trying to save space, all right, time. Now, this is where we got it from, that life basically has two stages. The first stage is that phase of take this, occupy, be occupied. That's why I've been reading it. Be occupied with this until I come. I said that first stage, therefore, I call it the first stage of occupation, in which God, I like the word occupation because it helps us know that in life you must have something that you are doing that you call your own. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, I said before, that what God says to us is that we should cultivate what? Faithfulness. You must, this is what you should go for in life. I said, a good name is better than silver and gold. You must never forget it. I was in a way, we were teaching at a leadership retreat. And these are one of the things I explained to them about being not, that it's not being conformed with this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I said, when you ask a typical person, why do you do business? He says, to make money. All right? That's the normal human response. Why are you doing business? To make money. I said, but that is not Christian, that is not godly. You have to remove that from your mind and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, have a new perspective to things. And I give a number of examples of the reasons why Christians do business. Number one is to acquire a good name. Yes, money is very far down. I'm serious about that. Money is very far down. The first thing is acquire a good name. People should be remembering you not for the amount of money you are making, but for the fact that when they had problems, it was you they went to in that particular area. And I said, therefore, what we are going for is to have something in the minds of people that when they have issues in that area, your name pops up in their head. It is not about making money. It is that people remember you for something. You are getting what I'm trying to explain there. It's very important we understand it. You see, if you have that right perspective, when you are doing things, there's a way you will structure. You know, you'd rather lose money, which is a matter of fact, all right, than lose a good name. Because a good name is more crucial, is more vital than money. That is what the Bible says. So when we're doing business, what are we doing? Acquiring a good name. That's number one, all right? And then, of course, you get that good name, not only for helping people, but for being faithful, for being trustworthy, for being honest. These are the things. But beyond the good name, of course, that is, after that, you want to really physically be of service. You want to be able to help people. These are the reasons why you do business. That's why when you... Now, I'm sorry, I'm going off the main thing I'm not going to say now, but to help people. If you want to do any business, ask yourself, what is it that is not well satisfied? That is, which word do I want to use? What need is that is not well met? Yes, around you. I always tell people, you want to open a shop? There are many shops. There are many shops. In fact, if you want to see, you want to do a business, and you see that many people are already doing it, go and pray seriously and ask God, what is it that I can do that people are not already doing? All right? That is what I mean is this. If I'm in a particular area and that thing is not in that area, then that's an issue. That, okay, this area is not covered. If it's, I'm in an area where everything is well covered, don't just bother going into that business until you have found out something that is defective in what other people are doing and you want to fill in that gap. Otherwise, you're just queuing up to be a mediocre also. You hear the story of, of course, you know the story, and it's been in the news. I don't know, some people don't know these kind of things here. WhatsApp, you know, WhatsApp. WhatsApp was sold to Facebook, and Facebook paid $19 billion, different arrangements to come up with that sum, all right? Now, the interesting part is that why did these people start WhatsApp? It is because they said, one of the guys said, I want a messaging system. All right? That's very easy to use, and they don't harass your life with adverts. That nobody wants to wake up in the morning reading adverts, adverts, adverts. And that's it. That was all, he said. And he developed it and spent exactly $0. Not 1 cent did he spend on advertising. As of today. There were many messaging systems all over the place before they came online. They just said, listen, let's do something that is different. One, it has to be cross-platform. If you are using a Nokia, or using a BlackBerry, or using an Android, or using an Apple, all right, an iPhone, you should be able to talk to each other. These were things that a lot of people didn't bother thinking about. And he said, listen, I don't want your life harassed with adverts. So that's why you've been using WhatsApp for some time, you don't get adverts on it. Just by the way, to interest some people. Both of them went to look for a job in both Facebook and it's Instagram, one of the other companies. And they didn't employ them. That was just about 5 years ago. The same company that said they said to employ us is now paying $19 billion. I just feel like talking about that a bit. The people that sponsored the venture capitalists that bankrolled the whole deal spent a total of $60 million and they are making $3 billion in 5 years. Do the arithmetic. You don't look like you can do it. Either you are too confused or... Yes. They gave them in 3 installments $60 million. And they are making $3 billion. And that's in less than 5 years. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Let me say it again. May God bless you.
Amen.
One brother said to me, he said, okay, I've not been able to walk today. That is when that news broke. He said, I couldn't walk the whole day. All he was doing was reading up the stuff happening, doing calculations and shaking his head. He said, are you sure I'm doing the right work? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, why did I bring up their issue? All right. It is because when they were starting, they said simply, let's do something people are not doing. All right. Let's make it easy for you to contact your friend. Once you have his phone number, you are able to contact him without paying a dime in SMS charges. And in just 5 years, they have 450 million users on a monthly basis in just 5 years. They said, on the average, in the last 1 year, they were adding 1 million new users every day. Never spent a dime advertising to anybody. I hope those two guys, I hope they can think straight this week, because when you're suddenly a billionaire, it's not to be able to think straight. I hope somebody's praying for them. Anyway, they are not small boys. Anyway, they used to work in Yahoo, all right? And what they didn't like about working the way Yahoo thinks, well, Yahoo Messenger and all of that, is too much adverts. I said the thing really, really gets on users' nerves. So they created something in which the users would not be harassed with advertisements. Why did I tell this story? To let you know that in life, you want to do something, ask yourself, what is it that I can add to people? Not how can I milk them? What can I do to collect from them? If you see something everybody is doing and they have enough, you know, I told you once, when somebody was telling me that, why don't I start a church? A friend of mine said that, but there are many churches now, they should go somewhere else. I don't know whether you get the point. That look, that what you are doing right now, yeah, he said, you are the only one I know that's doing it. So leave it like that. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Ask yourself, what is it? There must be a specific reason why you are doing what you are doing. There must be. That is, what is it that people are going to get? All right, sorry, what is it that people are going to get from me? Yes, that's what I want to say. Yet they are not currently getting from somebody. Is it that, yes, somebody else is doing, but the person is too far away? Or the number of people doing it are not enough? Are you getting my point? We need to fill in some gap. There must be something that you are filling it as a gap. I went to that trying to remind us of something I said before. Because we're talking about season of fruitfulness. All right? Season of fruitfulness. These are things that we must, you know, we are building a structure, I said, on the earth that the blessing that we have in the heavens can come and rest in. When God wants to bless you, that's what he will do. He will demand, he said, a body that has prepared for me. That is, that blessing must have a body to enter into when it's coming to the earth. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes, that must have a body. It's not just that, yeah, I've been blessed. And the blessing is there, yes. He said, okay, where do I rest? Where will I come into? I said to us then that no matter how much Jesus was supposed to come, that God had determined that Jesus will come. He will come and be a blessing to you and to me. But before he could come, they have to talk to Mary and explain to her, it is important you cooperate so that the salvation of God may come to mankind. Because something, she was instrumental in the preparation of the body that blessing will enter into. So I'm emphasizing again, our season of occupation, all right? What are we doing? We are ensuring that, listen, there is something, I was saying that earlier, there is a name that you are known by in the minds of people. If I need something, why should they think of me? All right? If they need something, I meant to say, why should they think of me? Why shouldn't they think of somebody else? And what is it about me that people think about? Listen, if there is nothing, let me say it again, that people think about when they remember you, all right, or something that they will need and your name will come to their mind, you're not ready for breakthrough yet. Did you get what I said? I hope you are getting the point. That is the key to blessing. No matter how small it appears, but your name must come to somebody's mind when he needs something. I told you, we're just coming back from Ori. Very interesting. I kept on telling people that I've never seen a set of human beings like you people. That is, I was very, very blessed going to go and preach there. What was it? I said, the man came to see me. The man who organized the program. He's an Anglican minister, all right? He said to me simply, which one? Choose one. Will you come to Oweri or we should come to Enugu? That whichever one I choose, the same thing. This weekend, if I wanted them to come to Enugu, they will come. That they will put themselves in buses, come and arrange where they will stay in Enugu, hire somewhere, that if I think coming to Oweri will be too difficult. I said, no, I think it's easier, since most of them are from that Oweri axis. I said, it's easier for me to come to Oweri. But I was very, very impressed by that, because the man said, you just have to come and teach us. I was there listening to him, you know, occasionally I hear him talking to people. Say, in fact, he told me that before, that he told people that, listen, when they say, sir, where are your messages? He said, why do you want my messages? Go and download Pastor Banky's messages. That's what he used to tell the people. I was not telling him that no, because he preaches also, and he preaches good word, sound word. Now, why am I telling this story? Because he said he wanted something. So he came all the way to Enugu to ensure he met me, came another time, and now said to me simply, there is something we want to learn. If you are not willing to come down to our town, no problem. We will come and meet you here. So, you know, when he said that, I expected that maybe there are a few people, you know, a handful of people. So when these guys were packing materials, I said, just okay, oh, just a few materials. To my surprise, the hall we used was small. But the thing was jam-packed every session. They always, that is, in fact, yesterday I asked my place, are you willing for people to sit behind you? That is, there was nowhere to sit again. Oh, I said, so these are the people that wanted to come all the way to Enugu. I don't know why you are following what I'm going to explain. That is, in their minds, oh, we want to learn this thing, there's a name that comes to mind. And that is why, for me, I think I must work harder to get, you know, in quotes now, a better name to ensure that every time somebody listens to me, his or her problems, all right, they are solved by the entrance of the Word of God. So that any time you want to think of who do I listen to, yes, your mind instantly goes to kwm.com.ng. Let me go and download some materials. This applies not only to preachers. Please, let me emphasize it again. It's to everybody. You've noticed that if you ever got involved in it, skilled workmen in town here at least, all right? They are always very busy. All this one you see in the morning, sit down at Obomanu there and be telling stories. Don't hire them. You know why they are sitting down? They can't walk. Bishop, am I telling you this? No, he's an architect. He knows what I'm saying. He's involved in these things. But then you're sitting there in the morning. Every morning you're sitting down there waiting for somebody to come. It's obvious you are not skilled. It's obvious. Those who really are skilled know their work. No, they don't even have time to hang around such places. Because before they finish the one they are doing now, people are already calling them. Who can do this roof for me properly? Everybody's giving you somebody's name. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I call occupation. Occupation is not a big job. It's not a high-paying job. That's not what we're talking about. It's something you do very well that anytime somebody needs something, your name comes to his mind. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be something that you went to university, studied to go to PhD, before you were able to do it. If that's what it takes, fine. Are you getting what I'm saying? If that's what it takes, good. There are things that you will not be able to do unless you have some of those qualifications. Possibly, they exist, I know. All right? But it's not only that. There are things that people need every day. And they just need somebody good and honest. Two of them go together. I hope you understand that. Yes, they go together. So that anytime they need it, somebody's name comes to their mind. That is what I'm calling an occupation, no matter how trivial it is. Even if it is, okay, who will MC this my wedding? Who will MC this my birthday party? Our church is doing a program. Which MC do we call? So that's the point I'm going over it again. But that's the point we have made before, all right, and I'm making again. And this is what you must pursue, all right, as a child of God. I said Christians have a different mindset towards life. What you are doing in life is not primarily about getting money. That's not the primary thing. That is the... It's not secondary. It's tertiary. You know, maybe somewhere down the line. Yeah, it's there. I mean, it has to... It's good that he earns you your wages. It's important. It's good. But that's not the primary thing. That is not the primary thing. All right? So we said that first season, all right, let's not forget it. In that first season, you are busy. You are occupied. What did I say?
Occupied.
That's the point. You are occupied. You are not idle. Listen, you are not... There's no... Hey God, I'm back to it again. I'm trying to get somewhere, but let me just keep talking. There is no excuse in life for somebody to say, I am not employed. There's no reason. There is no reason. I know CBN is not employing you because they just sacked the former CBN governor. I know. Yes, you understand? Yes, I know that civil service said no. We put an embargo on employment. I know that MTN said, all right, we don't want new engineers because we are contracting out our engineering services to Ericsson. I know. But I am saying, despite the fact that these people are not employing, you have no excuse to be idle. If you are idle, then you need this message I'm preaching. What is the message? Go back home and ask yourself, what can I do to bless somebody, and I can do that and be occupied by it? That's it. There is no excuse. I preached this already long ago. I said, what's a job? A job is the opportunity that God gives you to be a blessing to somebody's life. That's what it is. A job is not described by the amount of pay involved. It's the opportunity that God gives you to be a blessing to somebody's life. Let me tell you something. You know, oh God, I will try and move on from here, but I think I'll be able to help a lot of people just explaining these things. If it gets to a point in which you are skilled in an area, nobody's willing to employ you and pay you a salary, go and meet somebody that's not willing to pay. Say, let me just be helping you. That is, for me, it is better for me to be here helping you out than sitting at home doing nothing. Both of them won't earn money. You understand my point? If I'm at home doing nothing, I won't earn anything. If I'm here doing something, I may not earn anything, but at least I'm earning a good name. I'm getting this reputation that I'm reliable and I'm skilled. And the Bible makes something clear. It said, let each exercise his gift accordingly. So I'm exercising, all right, my grace, my gift. Therefore, I'm getting better in what I am doing. If you remember, that is not primarily about what I'm earning as income. Then you know that definitely you are employed. You are occupied. Listen, you must fight idleness as if it's a disease. Fight idleness as if it's what? A disease. And there is some, no, that is actually a disease. Let me give you an idea. In the job market, if you leave school in 2000 and you finish NYS 2013, 2012, and for 5 years you don't do anything, you're almost sure you'll never get a job again. Oh, some people did not know that. The longer you are out not working, the less likely you will be employed by anybody. Your best chances of employment is immediately after you start looking for the job. Every year is reducing by 5%, you know, 5%. Now, don't believe the 5%, but you get the idea. You get my point? It may be 10%. You know, that my 5% may even be small. It may be 1%. But one thing is that every year, it becomes more difficult. What worries them is, 2006. It's 2006 till now. You haven't done anything. And you say, no, I've been looking for work. Forget, they won't employ you. They will not employ you. They will not employ you. It is better, are you getting my point? That you say, well, what are you doing? I was working for this particular charity group. I was their director of the coordinator of distribution of used clothes, food, and you understand my point? I did that for 1 year. After that, I moved to this place. All right? What was that place? It is a local government council in charge of this. That is, get yourself somewhere, even if somebody won't put you there by himself. In the jobs market, listen, you can't give an empty CV. 6 years. No, 7th year. You need God to speak to someone. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not saying it's impossible. You get my point? That's why I said that percentage, it keeps dropping. And if you have not worked for 20 years, even God won't get you a job. Even God will not bother. He won't just bother. Say, what's wrong with this, my guy? He doesn't want to do anything. All right? I mean, they keep waiting, and this is the mistake people make. They say waiting for the big one. The big one. Let me just say something to you again. All right? So that you know, I'm not preaching to average people. If you want to be average in your life, say amen. If you're an average person that God made, you just coast through life, you marry, you have two or three children, they will go to school and all of that, then one day you will die, and then that's the end of it. Say amen. Nobody say amen. I said you will marry now, have children. Is that not good? But you're not going to say amen. Now, if I'm speaking to somebody, all right, who God created to be distinct in life, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I said something in the way when I was preaching yesterday. I said God sends each one of his children into an area of life to be a king and a lord in that area. But that many times they enter the place as slaves. You hear what I said? Joseph was a king that God made, a lord in Egypt. How did he arrive there? He was kidnapped and sold. He got there as a slave. Do you know all the people that were not kidnapped and were not sold as slaves never became anything like Joseph? Please, I hope what I'm saying, I hope it's entering your heart. Joseph was going to be ruler in Egypt. He arrived as a slave. He wasn't saying, my mates are better than this. Oh boy, whether your mates are better than this doesn't matter. Look, listen. You are going somewhere your mates are not going to. And this is a path that God has chosen to take you to the place where you are supposed to get to. Faithfulness. Remember what we said? Dwell in the land and cultivate what? I didn't hear you. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. It was that faithfulness. You know, it's the same story we have heard again and again, but the lesson must never be lost. This fellow was a slave in the house of Potiphar. He was so faithful to Potiphar that the Bible testifies that Potiphar did not concern himself with anything more than the food that he ate. That is the only time Potiphar will speak in that house. Why is the meat not complete? I don't know whether you get what I say. That look, you know I'm watching my weight. Why are they serving me this big? Joseph, what's going on now? I say, I'm watching my weight. I want fruits and vegetables. Hallelujah, diet. That's the only time the man used to speak. Now, let me tell you what I'm trying to say. When Potiphar's trucks will come back with his goods, he did not know. The only person that knew was Joseph. How many trucks moved? How much did they sell? It was only Joseph that knew. Potiphar didn't care. Not because he was a careless person, but because that was the extent of faithfulness that Joseph demonstrated in that house. Listen, it is the same attitude that carried him to becoming a ruler in Egypt. I'm not going to say much more than that. It's the same attitude. That's why I started by saying that if you want an average life, you get promoted here and there, one day you become a DG, you know, stuff like that. Fine. No, look, there are pathways like that in life. But if really in life, you are going to be distinctive, that's what I'm talking about. It means, therefore, if you enter into a place as a slave, it does not in any way reduce the fact that God has made you to be a king and a lord. What you must understand is that when they call Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they don't mean he's the king of the kings of Uganda, Nigeria, England, Scotland, you know, Belgium. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that his people, you and me, are kings. That's what he's saying. So when he says he's the king of kings, that's what he's talking about. And there are many fields, many aspects in life in which you and I are supposed to reign over, but I'm emphasizing the fact that many of those places you will enter into them as a slave. Therefore, you see why a lot of people don't take jobs? Because it's like a job of a slave. Because I'm a king. I'm the son of a king. I don't do things like this. You know, sometimes if you don't understand the scriptures well, the Bible says that Peter was speaking about the writings of Paul. He said many people twist them to their own destruction. Many of us hearing that we are king's kids. You know, we heard, I don't know whether you've learned those kind of things. I'm the child of a king. So we may say, I know they sweep gutter. No. It might be that because every prince has to be trained. I told us before, you see, you go to England, what's the name of the one that's the son of Charles? Williams, Andrew, all of them, they have to enter the armed forces. It's the law. You have to go and serve in the armed forces. The other day we were watching on TV, Andrew was on a particular this thing in Afghanistan. He was manning a machine gun in Afghanistan. When the press broke the news, they had to remove him from there because he was supposed to just go like a normal person. Patrol in Afghanistan, step on a mine in Afghanistan. I don't know whether you get my point. That's the risk. He will be in a helicopter that may crash. But if he's going to be king, that's how it used to be. You had to look, go and read your scriptures. You don't fight. They are very, the only king that used to sit in the palace was Solomon. Go and read all the kings in Israel. That's the only guy that used to sit in the palace. Writing songs and poems and words of wisdom. All the other ones were warriors. And no, I'm not, Russell, I'm not angry with you. I'm just explaining something to my people, you know. It was God that gave him that one anyway, because, you know, when God said, what should I do for you? And he asked for wisdom. God said, I'll give you even the life of your enemy. So nobody was strong enough to be an enemy to Solomon. So that's why Bros didn't fight. All right? It's not because he didn't want to fight. It's more of because he asked for wisdom, God ensured that no enemy could stand. All right? Now, I'm going to emphasize the fact that, see, being a king, all right, it's not just that you go around, raise your shoulders, I'm a king. No. It means you know where you are going and you are ready to do anything. Because you don't feel inferior. You know, inferiority complex is people's problems.